Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's May 26, 2022. It's Ask Us Anything time. So this is time for questions on whatever you're curious about, especially if it relates to a relevant theme of Awakening Plus. Again, I'm here. Spirit Song will be here in a few minutes. And we've got some other folks here, too, whose wisdom will be brought to the party. And since this is just Q&A, not an energetic process, we're not going to set up a container or do embodied awakening or anything. We're just going to jump in with questions. So let me make sure you all can do that. Hang on. Yep, you are able to unmute yourself. So feel free to just unmute yourself and pop your question in or type it in the chat, whatever you want to do. So open season. Someone be bold enough to lead us off. And that's the close of our shortest Ask Us Anything ever.
But... No. Question. Stop, Benjamin. Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna, let's see if I, okay, there. Perfect. So you can see me. I hate talking to darkness. It's so hard when you're doing stuff like this. I'm really glad to be able to connect now and stuff. There's so much darkness right now on this planet.
Yep.
Good grief. And I know that, you know, that's how we grow and everything. Hi, Spirit Song. How are you, sweetie?
Hello. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm hanging in, girlfriend. I'm hanging in. Getting better. Bringing the light back. And I guess that's part of the cycle, right? And part of, you know, everything that's going on now. Because I've kind of felt this coming my entire lifetime, you know. And, hit 70 years on the planet this summer. And I kind of thought in the 70s it was going to go crazy. Edgar Cayce said it would, and it didn't. And that was cool. I guess that's what's going on now. And there's so much darkness, and yet we get to grow, right? And we get to find out who we are. And we, as difficult, gosh, as 2022 has been for me, and, you know, it's been easier for me than it has been for a lot of people on this planet. I've been able to grow, you know, and that's, I guess, why we're here, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we are spiritual beings having a, you know, experience here with Maya, all the illusions of this world. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm just really grateful to you guys. I really am. I so am, because it's just been so awesome to be able to heal and to be able to work with you, you know, in all the stuff that we've been doing the last few weeks. And I really enjoy it. So yeah. I don't know if that was a question or not.
But well, I think you raised the theme of the current darkness. And Spirit Song, do you have any thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've spent a lot of this day off and on crying about the pain and sadness in the world and feeling it in my heart. And surrendering and offering trust, because I know there is something going on way beyond what we can see in a third dimension. And so I feel what I feel. I bless it. I hold it. I release it. Let it go.
I think what it is fear. And I'm trying not to plug into fear. And for me, of course, where it really hits me is like my grandchildren, you know, because... Those are my babies, you know, and I'm worried, and I'm just like, God, I know God will take care of all of this.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have children and grandchildren, and trust.
Right.
That wherever they are, just like wherever we are, when anything happens, there is purpose, and they have their own soul contract. Mm-hmm. You know, they came through my body and and then my children's bodies, but they have each one their own soul contract.
Yeah, and their eternal light and all of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Connection to the wisdom of Creator.
I keep pulling these really powerful tarot readings, so it's making me very, you know, that's really cool, because I keep getting these very profound things that just tell me on a really deep level, it's going to be okay, sweetheart. Everything's fine. You know, and that's so neat, because when I can work when I work with everyone in the meditations and we all get together and we do the both and, which I love, Benjamin, that is so cool. You know, just all of those things. It's like a place I want to stay, you know, up there.
Yeah, I think it's important, Lovey, to know that it's all right for us to have our tears, to feel our sadness, to not be in a la 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 every moment, just because we know that there is something greater going on, just because we know that everyone has their own agreements when they came in and that sort of thing. But we're human. We're divine in a human earth suit. We get to feel all the feelings, part of the agreement we made. Yeah.
Does anyone else on the call have thoughts about the current big challenging time we're in and how they're dealing with it, or any philosophical overview they have about it? Carmen or Brian or Risa, anyone else want to chime in on that question?
It does feel very, very overwhelming at times. And you watch the news and it just goes from one awful thing to another, in particularly what happened this week at the school in Texas. But I find that I can take all of that in and then I can put it aside. And I have a lot of groups that I belong to, and it's really useful. For example, today I was with my walking group, and I live in Rhode Island, so we have a lot of water here. Mm-hmm. And we spent the day, we walked in Beaverton, which is on Jamestown Island, which is part of Rhode Island. And then we spent a good 45 minutes having a lunch that we brought for ourselves together, and just sitting, watching the birds and the ocean, and just talking, and just really and we never talked about anything dark. I mean, it was nothing. We talked about everything that we talked about had nothing to do with what was going on in the world. It's just visiting with each other and just really disconnecting from all of the darkness, because it really is. And I remember driving down there thinking I was going to ask people how were they feeling about what was going on, but then I never did, and nobody else did either. It just never came up. So so that was really good, actually. Good way to do. And so connecting with nature is just so important, I think.
Absolutely.
In water, and it was just, I keep thinking about you, Spirit Song often talk about water and the dolphins and the sea creatures and all of that, but it's very useful to be able to do something like that. So that's what I find, really, to be able to connect with my friends. And it's important for me too, because I live alone. So it's good to be able to do that. So
true.
Yeah. Community is so important.
Right. Exactly.
Anyone else have thoughts on how to work with the current challenging energies of the world? Brian or Risa?
Jack, real quick.
Yeah.
Just in relation to what Carmen was saying, I was able to escape and get away recently to go to the water. And being in nature really helps me a lot. It's really difficult for me to watch TV. And I don't really have any interest really too much. I just really want to learn and just put all my energy into as much learning and reading as possible. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, no matter how you try to escape it, it's still around me, because I live in an apartment complex. And, you know, I have a neighbor that leaves and violently slams her door, and my whole unit shakes as though there's an earthquake. And I'm in a meditative state, and I'm meditating in the morning, and bam, you know, and I just really need to center myself. And I'm being bombarded by a lot of different energies here in my apartment. Mm. So that's difficult for me, trying to escape it all externally and in my outer environment, but it's still affecting me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to escape it. So it's a challenge. And I do believe that I hit a nice threshold, in a sense, in my meditation today, where that loud, thunderous noise that shook my apartment didn't really faze me that much. Mm. I was really able to be so centered. And it sort of like reminds me of, you know, Jesus in the Bible sleeping on the boat and there was a storm. Storm was able to be put out. And that's how I felt. I felt as though I was so grounded and centered that even though with that noise in the past, it would have really shook me. And I felt it, but emotionally or physically, it didn't bother me as much as it would have. So I guess what I'm trying to just bring to light is how important it is to remain centered and grounded no matter what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of a story I read in a meditation book. This group had a meditation studio in New York City, where you're from, and it was right over a nightclub. And they had evening sittings. And so they all come up and they do their silent sittings. And right below them comes all, thump, 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 all the dance music coming up. And their entire meditation was to the, you know, loud music of the dance club. And they learned how to meditate and get into a peaceful space in the midst of all that noise.
That was and it's very similar. Even the analogy of where I live right now is that there's somebody below me that when he comes home from work, I mean, he's so stressed out and frustrated. The first thing he does is literally turn up his sound system after watching TV or playing music where my apartment is shaking and it feels as if there's a club below me.
I didn't realize the analogy was quite so apt for you.
That was a good synchronicity right there.
Uh-oh, the shirt, yeah. Risa, you have any thoughts on that topic?
Yeah, here I have school buses. Recently, these school buses have started to go down my road, which is too narrow, and all of them come down the road and they speed. They are loud and speeding, and there's not really room for both of them to pass on the road because it's a narrow road. So they're just over the edges. So you can't really take a good walk. You have to know when they're coming. Mm. And I am really, I really dislike these buses. And it definitely throws me sometimes. And the other one we have here are mowers. Big trucks will come and they'll park like at the side of the road and these big mowers will come off and they'll go, and of course, they're making lawns, which I have problems with anyway, because I think lawns are, you know, barren areas that really should be modified. And I don't know why we do it and why people are brainwashed to lawns, blah, blah, blah. So I have strong feelings about both of these things. But I heard something very interesting about noises, and I've tried it, and it does actually help. There are a couple of things that help. One is to just kind of within yourself imitate and resonate that sound until you can actually become one with it. And I do find that that helps when I, you know, when I become the sound that I dislike or the, whatever thing I dislike. So that one has been actually kind of helpful. And I have noticed lately that it's more important than ever to just make sure that I'm balancing my time, paying attention to spirit, being in that space and being in just every day dealing with the stuff. And also that when I'm really feeling helpless about what to do, I can do what I'm doing. I can do what I'm doing. I can do the dishes. I can make a difference in my small bit of environment. And that brings back first a sense of a little bit of control, but, you know, and autonomy and just ability to focus and actually change something.
That reminds me of a quote from Byron Katie, who's a wonderful, she has the work of Byron Katie, which is spiritual, though she doesn't call it that. And she swears that, you know, to her, the sound of a chainsaw and the sound of a symphony are just equal. She's perfectly content with either sound because she's in such a deep state of acceptance and equanimity. As far as my thoughts on that, I think we're living in just fascinating times, both the amazing, wonderful things and the amazing, challenging things happening. And as an astrologer, of course, I have a keen interest in what is going on in the world. How does it reflect the sky? Mm-hmm. And so that's part of why I'm paying attention to the world. I, most of the time, have the ability to you know, keep up with the most horrific news and not get thrown off by it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I'm Aquarian or I don't know why, but it doesn't hit me as emotionally as a lot of people. By the way, just on a side note quickly, starting next month, we're going to add a new Awakening A Plus event around astrology. And early in the month, we're going to have an event where we'll, maybe it'll be a 2-hour event where we'll start just, I'll just have done that month's forecast anyway, so it'll be fresh in my mind. And I'll give just a brief overview of the month, and then we'll do little mini readings for people. You know, people can jump and say, oh, do my chart next. And we'll take 10 or 15 minutes for each person and just do a little monthly thing that way. I think that might be fun and a nice little extra thing to bring into the membership. But
And may I interject? We used to do readings together, and it was fun to do ping pong kind of. one of us observes something, and then the other one observes something. And,
yeah. So if Spirit Song is available, she can be part of that too. You'd certainly be welcome, dear. But back to the main question at hand. And as an astrologer, of course, I'm looking at what are the big sky energies that are affecting all this, and. Both this year and last year, the big astrological energy of the sky is Uranus square Saturn. And I know I've talked about this a little bit sometime back, but basically Saturn is the energy of usually the old structure, tradition, the way things have always been. And Uranus is the most radical paradigm shifting planet. It can throw lightning bolts and surprises and shocks and can tear all things down really fast. So Uranus square, a 90 degree angle between the two is saying, you know, challenge for growth, turn a corner. And so when I say things like Russia invading Ukraine and all these horrible school shootings and COVID, you know, those are so Uranus square Saturn. And so it's not surprising to me that we're having huge world shaking events that are in resonance with that particular astrological alignment. So on one level, I can appreciate the astrology of it. Also, when I see horrific things happening, I come back to the law of one, which, you know, makes sense to me as a explanation for a lot of what goes on planet Earth. And it says Earth isn't designed to be a paradise. You know, we're here to grow. I think I told this very recently. I think it was just last night, actually, I told this on the call, but just to summarize, you know, there was a previous Earth in the prior universe where it was all a paradise. And the humans got stuck here. They knew about the other levels that were even more amazing, and they couldn't be bothered to move on because it was so nice here. You know, why would it be paradise, right? So the creator said, well, we didn't really mean to have a logjam on Earth, so next time let's put some service to self being, you know, evil, dark, whatever you want to call them, and we'll use those to catalyze the people who are walking the path of love and light and service to other. And with that challenging catalyst, it'll cause those beings of service to others to grow faster. So when I see horrific things happening, I keep that in mind. Well, that's what we signed up for. And it's only in the presence of challenging catalysts that we'll grow faster. Even the book Journey of Souls, that wonderful book on how souls plan for the lifetime, says the most ambitious souls choose lifetimes that are just loaded with challenge and what most people call horrible things happening. But the soul chooses that deliberately so it can accelerate its growth. Also, from the very largest perspective, I always remember, you know, we're not just humans. This human thing is so temporary. It's a blip in the soul's path. And whatever thing that happens to a human, however horrible it may be, as soon as they drop that body, the soul is fine. Oh, wow, that was intense. Now let me learn and move on to the next thing. So the soul is indestructible. So keeping that larger perspective still, that we're not just humans, and the soul is indestructible and moves on to new things. You know, however, that perspective is harder to hold when you haven't had a strong and really solid experience of yourself as that. You know, until you have that actual experience, you identify more as a human and you tend to be rocked more by things that affect the human part. And the danger, of course, is, you know, you can get into that and we get all cold and unfeeling, you know, oh, it's okay at the soul level, I could care less. And, and you lose the heart and compassion and feeling of the human part. And it's, you know, I'm trying more and more to walk in both of those. I've tended most of my life to be more impersonal and less in my heart, but this beloved woman, God help you. No, thank you, baby. It's helping me be more and more in my heart, as is Mother Ayahuasca. So, so I'm getting more in there all the time. So those are just, you know, some surface thoughts. Also, one last thought, again, philosophy that I hold is when we're in a time of great shift and, you know, I don't know if Earth will ever be a full-on paradise while we humans are here this round, but, you know, at least I feel like we are moving. When I did my ayahuasca ceremonies last weekend, I was shown very clearly that we had just gone up a notch, and we worked that last night in our unconditional love immersion call. And, you know, the energy is rising, you know, pretty consistently, you know, more and more high vibration, and it stirs up the dark stuff. You know, it could be that one of the reasons why we've had, you know, the two mass shootings recently and other horrible things happening is as the light gets stronger, beings who are, you know, really heavy with dark beings who are infested with dark entities is one way of putting it. They get really disturbed by that. And thus, as in that more agitated state, their dark beings are getting more agitated because they don't like these higher frequencies. They act out in more extreme ways. It's like, you know, when I counsel couples, I see all the time, usually the person I'm counseling with is the one rising in consciousness and their partner is either not interested in spirituality or stuck or not doing their shadow work or something. And the dynamic there is the partner who's evolving faster, you know, the other partner, the darkness that is causing them to stay stuck gets real agitated, and that person will either, you know, lash out at them or, you know, try to stop them. Or if there's enough, you know, momentum on the light side, they'll be encouraged by what the partner's doing and they themselves will start evolving faster. But it's usually one or the other. So that interdynamic I see with couples is happening on a global scale. So as the light gets stronger, and I definitely see that it is, I mean, all you have to do is look at the arc from the 1960s when the seed was planted with the Uranus-Pluto conjunction, and all the stuff that seemed really outrageous and crazy back then is all mainstream now, like yoga, right? And everyone's meditating now, you know, even medical practitioners say, oh, it's just the physiological benefits are great, right? So the spirit is coming into a much more mainstream thing, but it doesn't happen overnight, and it may take a few generations to lock in fully, right? So basically, I'm going long-winded here, but I think you're getting the drift. We are definitely rising as a culture. The people who are stuck in darkness will have backlash. That's why the whole, you know, Republican thing of, oh, replacement theory now is coming in. They're trying to replace us, you know, good white people with colored people and outvote us and things. That's all just the old ways that are, they want to stay stuck in their old way, you know, resisting and fighting the inevitable change. So, you know, so that's what's happening globally. That's my kind of big brush picture. And all each of us can do is decide which direction are we going to go? Are we going to keep moving into evolution and into higher and higher consciousness? Or are we going to let our fears and, you know, we all have a mix of dark and light entities that hang out in our fields. And it's like, okay, which are we going to let dominate our actions and our thoughts? So that was a pretty broad brush answer, but those are the thoughts that come to mind around that theme.
Yeah. Could I make a comment? Risa, when you were talking about the sounds outside, the big machinery, we live in a townhome community, and where we live, we are on a street with a little curve where the big trucks that bring the little...
Not little.
Well, no, they're pretty big.
The big lawn equipment.
Mowers around. Like to park right outside of the house. And so when they get them out and start going somewhere, it's pretty loud. But I loved what you were saying. I thought, I'm going to try this. It really hasn't bothered me. I observe things that are going on, but they don't usually really bother me. But I think it would be fun to find the hum at the tone where they are and be one with them for a minute how they're doing their thing. I'm going to try that. Yeah.
I'm tuning into the Briggs and Stratton frequency.
And Brian, when you were talking, Brian, about the sound, the big crashing sound, and you're in a deep meditation, I don't know why. I'm just offering what came. It was funny to me. It was like, we can create whatever we want in our mind. And if you could imagine, that's the divine, what is it? The magical, the Merlin uses,
the wand.
Yeah, the divine wand has just been anchored above you, and you can have whatever you want now. I don't know, you know, but I mean, we have the power of imagination and creation,
yeah,
and choice, mm-hmm. you know, and we can't choose. If it bothers us, it bothers us, but we can choose what we want to do with it when we become aware of it, or how we might, I don't know, you might play with it and see what happens.
Yeah, a door slam, I can imagine that's such a disruptive energy. It's like, okay, I'll make use of that. When I hear that sound, then I will invite that sound to disrupt whatever stuck energy I most need to release.
I like that.
And so make positive use, whatever you can, of elements that might otherwise be perceived negatively, if there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, my philosophy has always been, if something is bothering me and there's actually something I can do to stop it or transform it, I will take whatever action I can. But if it's beyond my control, I'll just try to relax and be with it, and then just either ignore it or make imaginative use of it, like I just described. Yeah.
Put a set of finger symbols over my rearview mirror for a while. And I said, okay, whenever that bangs together, that means it's time to just like have a nice breath and just relax while I'm driving. And of course, it happens when it goes on a bump, or I have to stop suddenly, or, you know, sometimes just, I don't know why it would ring, but it was always a really nice little thing to have just a preset symbol and reminder there. And it would happen when I would least expect it, or when I, you know, as I said, when I go over a bump or have to stop suddenly. But it was a very nice reminder. I really enjoyed it. I need to do that.
Did you become symbol minded?
Sometimes.
Well, that was juicy. I love this format where we let everyone have their insights, because you know, there's such a beautiful spread of insights and helpful information when we do that. Thank you all for your insights.
Yes.
All right. Any last thoughts on that question before someone poses the next one?
I actually have a little bit of an antidote. So years ago, I used to take a yoga class on the second floor of a building, and across the street was the Rhode Island National Guard. And they would often, during our class, be doing shooting practice during our class. God. You could hear all of these guns going off. But we eventually learned to just ignore it and just do our thing. And so, but it was pretty interesting. And eventually the studio moved from another place. So.
Yeah, if I was in that, I'd be rifling my imagination for ways to work with it.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so next question. Or we could just soak in this new bliss that just showed up.
So I have a quick one.
Okay.
I know we were talking about astrology earlier, and we're going to delve into that in the near future, which is really awesome. So I was told that if your north and south node is converted to somebody else's,
mm-hmm.
That might be a telltale sign that you've had a previous lifetime or a past life with that individual. And I was just curious on your take on that, because I had a relationship with a woman that I've never been so connected with another human being. And she did have her north node was opposite of my north node.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's just approach that mathematically for starters. One out of every 12 people on the planet is going to have that setup with you.
Mm.
And that means that over 500 million people are going to have that arrangement with you. So I'll just ask you to ponder, have I actually had past lives with over 500 million other people currently alive on the planet? And if I should run into one of those people, I guess what I'm saying is that is not sufficient cause to believe you've had a meaningful past life and should be in a relationship.
Okay.
It could be.
It's not astrologically per se, but what I've found is, when there's something that's really profound that you have that recognition with somebody,
mm-hmm.
Usually that's you're looking at somebody you've known before.
Yeah.
That you bring, and you bring these, I bring certain people come in at certain times because I have something to learn from them. They have something to learn from me, or gosh, they're just one of my besties, or if they're not, I get to work with that. But yeah, I would say probably, yeah, there's a people we get really deeply, you know, I know for me, I did this, online dating thing for a minute. Oh, it was ridiculous. And it was so much like work. It was just, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. But for me, you know, people who've come in, they come for a reason. And I'm finishing up a lot of stuff, but yeah, I'm sure you had a, yes, there was a connection there. I can see it. You know?
Well, it was what would be really called like a twin soul connection. It was that deep, and me being one that really feels energy on a very strong level, it was something that I've never felt before.
Wow.
Another human being, it was that strong. So that resonance and that frequency was, and the connection. And the first time we spoke on the phone, it was just effortless. And we spoke for about 8-9 hours.
Whoa.
We had to talk even longer. And if it wasn't 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, that's how easy
Absolutely.
It was.
Mm.
But to get back to what you were saying, Benjamin, is that, yeah, theoretically, I mean, we could have karmics and karmic situations that can be in the same aspect as far as the north and south node being opposite, or really any stranger or anybody throughout the planet. Mm-hmm. And people do come into our lives for a reason, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious on that. If,
yeah, I would say a factor like that could be a potential indicator of a connection like that, but it's not sufficient unto itself. Yeah, is my clear answer. Also, I've known a number of people, you know, I've hung out with a lot of, you know, conscious people, and I've known people who knew they were with a soulmate, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, they knew I'm with my soulmate, and they still couldn't be with them because there were such irreconcilable differences in the two personalities that even though they were soulmates, the conscious person had to choose to separate from them because that person was not evolving, or they were stuck in negativity, or whatever it was. So, you know, I'm not one to believe, oh, I'm believing I have a soulmate here, therefore I can't leave for any reason. You know, I just don't buy into that kind of thing. Now, me and Spirit Song, you know, I've vowed with my heart to her that we're together until we die. but it's not because of any astrological factors. It's because of my soul knowing of what I'm here for and knowing that just we're supposed to be together. But it's just a gut level spiritual knowing more than just an intellectual concept. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have quite a long history now since 2004 when we met. And we've always known that we were, well, the first time that we stood and looked at each other, and, you know, it was a musical event. I might, forgive me if I've talked about this before, but I went up at the intermission. I had already planned on being there. We'd actually talked on the phone, but I went up and we talked for a few minutes just on a kind of surface level, and then both stopped talking and just looked at each other for what seemed like the longest time of recognition.
Yeah.
That soul recognition, we know when we, oh, hello, hi, there you are again. And we don't know necessarily, unless we're extremely psychic, what that connection was before. But, and I don't know, I've heard people say, you know, we've evolved back around with the same people, like the person who is now your mate might have been your mother in a last lifetime, or, you know, one of your children or your best friend or whatever, whoever, you know, we don't know, but we circle back around again if we have a soul contract to do this journey together. And so, Brian, the nodes, you know, having a connection with self nodes, depending on where they are and what they connect with in your chart, can often be a really strong indicator that you've got some karmic stuff between you already. Yeah. However that's supposed to look in this lifetime, we have to figure that one out. But yeah.
Yeah. One of my bottom line for astrology interpretation, the chart is, it is archetypally predictive, but it's not concretely predictive. Right. It can show energy trends, but, you know, be super careful saying it has to mean a certain thing.
Yeah. We always have choices.
Yeah. We do.
Freely. And my choices and the other person's choices are, yeah.
Yeah.
We can't affect, we have to accept their choices.
Yeah. The law of one says when the universe first came into being, the very first law was the law of free will.
Right.
That is the dominant law of free operate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Evidently, this might be the only planet of free will, too. Supposedly, I don't. Who knows, right?
I hope not.
did you read that? Hear that somewhere, Brian?
I have heard that on different podcasts that I've been led to.
Interesting.
I don't know. I have enough on my hands just dealing with this planet. Was that a helpful answer to your question, Brian?
It is, yes, thank you.
Anyone else have thoughts on that? The whole soulmate and destined to be together kind of thing.
Oh dear. Well, I had one. He made poor choices, and he's still in my life. And you know, when you have kids and a grandchild with somebody, they keep showing up like a bad penny, right? and you gotta forgive them, and you gotta let go, and you know, it's a tough one, and it hurt. It hurt a lot.
Yeah.
It was what it was.
You know? Yeah. Another thing that Journey of Souls talks about, the Michael Newton book, which is about, again, how we prepare for our lifetimes in the spirit realm, is, you know, sometimes we come to just be a thorn in someone's side And that is the soul's agreed contract with that person.
Well, he was very successful at that. Good but job.
Again, if you really...
He, God bless him. God bless him. He brought so many growth opportunities.
Yeah. But I mean, if you think about your life, think, okay, what has helped me grow the most? The people
who
made it easy for me, the people who really threw roadblocks at me and difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's the people closest to me. Absolutely. I don't have problems with people far away. It's the ones who say they love me. And I'm like, oh God, help me now. Yeah. I'm in trouble.
Pray Jesus doesn't go anywhere without Judas. The story of Jesus doesn't go anywhere without Judas.
I have an uncle that is my Judas. Yeah. So I can relate very, very much.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've had three husbands, three marriages, and my second husband, my attorney husband, who's the father of my youngest daughter, when I left, because he was an attorney, he had always told me that you're either in my camp or not in my camp. If you're not in my camp, you're my enemy. Like if you were in court, you know, and literally he did, when I tried to get more help for our daughter financially and used the court system to help me, he got the fighter thing on. And you know what I did every time? Because he knew how to drag it out for 3 years, tried to turn it into a custody battle, which the judge thought was really hilarious and couldn't understand why. I would sing a song that was called the praising song, and it would go like whatever you were praising. I raise the children, I praise the children in the name of love. I raise my mother, I praise my mother in the name of love. I'd go through all these, I'd do Molly, all my children. Then at the very last, before I left, I'd say, I praise John Olson, I raise John Olson in the name of love. And I would do that several times before I closed the door. And when I closed the door, I would say, may love prevail. And that's how I would go to court every time. And I kept my peace no matter what he did. And you know what I called him? My Buddha in the road. Because how do we grow? How do we strengthen if we're only with people who are beautiful and loving to us?
Well,
strengthen what's true, unconditional love that doesn't depend on, you know, how somebody's behaving towards us. That only comes when those folks come into our arena one way or another, who allow us that opportunity to practice that.
Yeah, and the biodome experiments they did where they would seal people for 2 years inside this artificial environment to simulate like living on Mars or something. You know, they had trees growing in there and the trees died because without the wind blowing them and challenging them, they wouldn't grow strong. So similar theme in nature.
Yeah, Spirit Song, that is beautiful and it's very wise. On the flip side, you know, I've witnessed my mother who went through a lot with my father, and you know, they went through a big divorce and custody battle and everything. And my mom, throughout the rest of her life, was very spiteful, and it really affected her health because she couldn't let it go. You know, and it just brought so much anger internally inside of her, and it affected everybody around her because she just couldn't release it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it turned into disease, and it was just one repetitious cycle and a domino effect after another of disease. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, so for me to witness that and see that, mm-hmm. you know, that was a big she was a big teacher for me.
Sure.
But also hard to
mm-hmm.
to witness it and to know that she wasn't going about it the right way. And even though I was her child and trying to tell her and be more wise on how to go about it, it was very difficult. So on the flip side, you can see how it could manifest into something unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
My story is a little bit in the middle. I wasn't quite as evolved as you, Spirit Song. God bless you. I did do a thing because it was really bad. And the woman it was so bad and it hurt my kids. And that's, you know, the hardest thing. So I've had to give that to God, but I just kept saying, God bless them. God give them what they deserve.
Mm.
And it worked out, you know, I mean, and it's part of me feels because things were really hard for us then in the 80s. And now things are really hard for him. And I can be compassionate and I can, you know, be kind and I can forgive. And it feels like a miraculous thing. And some of it, Brian, some of what my daughter even said that to me, she said, you're tearing me apart, Mama. Mm. This hurts me. And I'm like, okay, you know, cause I'd eat bees for my kids. So I can pray for my enemies. If I'd eat bees for my kids, I can pray for my enemies. And it just, you know, I'm grateful, but it is weird because I still have these dreams where, I don't know, on some level, this man and I were very deeply, profoundly connected. And I guess I've just got to, you know, like accept it and go, God bless him. And maybe, yeah, it was. He maybe, you know, said, I'll be a thorn in your side, Tricia. Mm-hmm. I'll help you grow. Thank you. I said, thank you so much. Because gosh knows they did. Yeah, and I'm so grateful because I couldn't have, for me, I would not be who I am today. I could not stay, you know, and I do. There's some part of me that will always love him. And there's some part of me that will always be angry at him too. But like, you know, Judas, right? You know, it's like, it's okay. It's okay. You know, the love is what matters. The heart is what matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah.
Hmm. Who else has a question? We could just sit in this transcendent energy mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. Divine does a good job of filling the space. Mm-hmm. I should fess up. I actually opened the Mesa about 20 minutes before we started, and I did some ritual stuff before we started, and the Mesa has been open the whole time, so. Where you've been in a sacred container the whole time, you just didn't know.
Sneaky sham.
I just wanted to share one other thing. When we were talking about all that's happening in the world and how those of us who are really tender-hearted feel it, you know, like when I hear something about, I listen to NPR, I don't listen to mainstream news, but But I hear interviews when I'm driving somewhere with people who are involved with things on a really deep personal level, and that's sometimes even more of a deep heart feeling thing. Yeah. And but what I was going to say is, you know, we know two things for sure, I think, if we know anything. From what we've heard, anyway, it's my perception that what our state of consciousness is, whatever we bring ourselves to think about, and I pray for those children and their families when I hear that kind of thing. But then get into a place of peace, because what I can't do anything about it in the moment. What can I do? Part of it, part of what we feel is the sadness because we're connected on the heart level, but also because what can we do? How, you know, there's a sense of helplessness. What, how can we change this? But what we can do and what we can change is something in our environment, whether it's at home or when we go to the store or wherever we are in our little corner of the world, that we make a difference for someone. If it's in our work or just beyond our work, how we are, what we give to those that we're around. In a grocery store, are we completely absorbed with just what we're going to pull off the shelf? Or can we look at people and see if someone needs a smile, a caring heart that they know they've been seeing, a word of kindness? That makes a difference for the families of those children and for the people in the war zones and for everybody everywhere, because we're all one. Mm-hmm. And so every time we do anything for one person anywhere, we have done that for everyone, including ourselves. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that relates to, I think it was actually NPR. They were talking about the most recent school shooting, and they said, well, you know, there are some people saying, oh, we need to arm the teachers and we need to put better security guards at the schools and armor them up. And but, you know, when they've actually studied schools that have done that, it hasn't helped the problem at all. And the energy of the schools just gets worse. But the schools have said, okay, let's have, you know, times when the students can see a counselor, we have people coming together and talking from their hearts about it. You know, those schools tend to do better. And so that to me just reinforces what you just said. You know, it's, if, you know, we could say we're all one, we could say we're all nodes on Indra's web. Everyone connects to everyone and everything else. So any little thing any of us can do to raise our own vibration is going to help everything subtly. And that frankly is the whole premise of Awakening Plus. You know, my mission is to help a whole bunch of people, you know, on their path of healing and awakening. Every person I can help get that higher vibration, it helps the whole planet. In addition to the explicit things we do, like on Monday nights. So, you know, there's a gazillion ways to do that. And so I totally agree that, you know, and also it comes back to something I referenced once in a while, which is, what is mine to do? You know, no single one of us has the ability to heal everything on the planet that's wrong, but we can feel what we're called to affect, what we feel inspired to do that is aligned with our particular purpose, and just do that thing. And know that there's many, many other light workers, you know, called to other directions and other particular situations and problems, and all the bases are covered.
Right.
Yeah. And it is sometimes those little things, something we say. I was going to physical therapy today. I've had more balance problems lately, and I don't want to fall. It could be deadly, literally, for me. Because I'm on blood thinners, and if I hit my head, that could be a real problem. And I've been having an extra bit of pain because it's been raining a lot, and that affects me. And so I was going to my therapy, thankful for the therapy, but at the same time feeling like, my goodness, I'm this old, falling apart woman, and, you know, having some of those thoughts that, when is this, when am I ever going to get better enough? I don't have to do this kind of thing. And I feel like I'm just falling apart sometimes. And this lovely lady was coming out of the Y, coming down the steps where I was going up the steps. And she said, "You are so beautiful," and went on. But that one thing, just I knew that was to give me the balm in my heart that I needed in that moment. And each of us has that power every day to look around for anyone, anywhere. We can give one kind word or statement or look of love or whatever. And it is powerful. It can change, literally change that person's life in that moment for the day or whatever, you know. I see somebody's written a note to us here.
Yeah, so let's not name the person, but okay. The note says, "I have a relationship situation.
To everyone anyway.
I don't want to say much on a recorded call and a journal tuning in, however, is appreciated." So what you might do, anonymous person, is is come to our other monthly call, which is the not ask me anything, but it's the what's the other one we do that is not recorded? It's the group, the community support call. And that one is not recorded, and that might be a perfect environment in which to bring that up. So if you want to come back for that call next month and bring the topic up then it, you know, only the people on that particular call will be, you know, privy to what happens, and no one will know about it afterward. So
I think, though, reading this in the wording of what you've said, what you're seeking is, if anyone who has psychic sensitivities has anything come up by tuning in, you would just like to know what they're thinking or feeling. Do you get that?
That's possible.
Yeah.
So if anyone gets a hit on this anonymous person's relationship situation, then feel free to voice that. And I keep saying anonymous person because this is a recorded event, and you know, this person obviously doesn't want their name associated with this.
So right. We all know who we're talking about. That's all that matters.
I don't see relationship per se, but when I look at you, I see so much beautiful light. You're so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Just so and I think so many challenging things happening right now. And it's kind of like, I think I said earlier, I pulled the tarot on my own situation that was upsetting me. And I just so much light with you. You're right where you're supposed to be. You're loved and you're taken care of. So have no fear.
And we're all in a time, I think, with relationships of filtering through, drawing in new energy where we're supposed to be forming new connections for these changing times. And having to release some that are either just for the moment or have been in our lives for a long time, but it's time to let go and move on to another form.
Because we have to evolve
with each other. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to say the only thing, if you're really dead set on the path of awakening, or maybe I say life set on the path of awakening, all that requires is everything. And a person really serious about their awakening will separate or distance themselves from people who are not you know, promoting that path for them, and will associate as much as possible with those who are aligned with that path, especially hanging out as much as they can with people who are more awake than they are.
You are so beautiful. Don't let anything dim your light.
Yeah. Hmm. So yeah, just, you know, choose wisely. I'll tell you, one of the most profound relationship insights I've had in recent months with Spirit Song is, you know, the IFS, internal family systems therapy idea that you have one self in many parts. And, you know, if I'm doing a good job of staying conscious as self, if I'm in embodied awakening strongly, then if a wounded part of me gets triggered by some interaction with Spirit Song, I can recognize that part internally. And instead of, as they say, getting blended with the part and then that wounded part speaking through my mouth to my partner, which causes problems, I can work with the part internally and have internal dialogue as self with the part, acknowledge it, you know, respect it, love it exactly as it is. I appreciate where you're coming from. I know why it's happening. Thank you for, you know, watching out for me in your own way. And then choosing not to verbalize it. And that makes, has made, that's a huge difference it's made. You know, once I've become conscious enough to do that, then our relationship has become so much more harmonious. Because for our first year back together, it was more rocky because I wasn't doing that. I was getting blended all the time and wasn't skillfully working with the inner parts, so I didn't have to verbalize them. Mm-hmm.
And I'd be blown away because I had no idea what he, why he was upset, you know? and I wouldn't understand it at all. And then that hooked into a wounded part of me that I, when I was a child, I'd be doing my very best with everything and I'd upset my father. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be perfect enough. And I kept trying to be perfect enough. That's the part I've worked on, releasing that I'm never going to be perfect enough. I have to just check and see, is there anything I can do in this moment? And if not, then let it go. And that's, yeah, that's been a good thing for both of us, too.
Actually thinking about something you had talked about using like nonviolent communication methods and the things that you used to do and then how you stopped really doing it as much because Spirit Song doesn't follow that particular form. And I wondered how that was going. I mean, how you were thinking about it now.
Hmm. I still strongly recommend NVC broadly for couples. I reference it a lot in my astrology forecast. Whenever I talk about a potential relationship challenge, that's always the go-to methodology just because it is so excellent, so proven. But I don't find myself using it with Spirit Song. And I think what we've just verbalized is how we're working now with things like that. However, I think probably my general readership is you know, a lot of people read my astrology forecast and probably many of them are not conscious enough to do the work at the level we're doing it. Mm-hmm. So I think probably NVC is still, I mean, the whole, if y'all aren't familiar with that, the idea is if the people are conscious enough to do it, it takes a certain level of awareness. But the person says, okay, here's the four things. Okay, I haven't talked about it so long that I'm a little rusty on the four parts, but there's a process you go through systematically. Offener model, OFNR, I got it back. Mm-hmm. So you say, okay, what's my observation? Here's my perception of the facts, observation. F, here's the feelings I'm having, partner, both the good and bad feelings. Here is my needs that I have that are or are not being met. And here's my request on how I would wish you would meet them. And the one person says that, the other person just silently receives. Then you flip it around, the other person goes through the same four. And then both people have been heard if it's done well. And that container allows everything that needs to get out there to help heal the situation is out on the table now. And then if they creatively brainstorm, then they can hopefully come to a better solution than either could have come up solo. Okay. So that's the heart of the nonviolent communication model. There's many, many more subtleties to it, but that's just the basics. So I still believe that's an excellent strategy.
And I have never had any training in any of that at all. However, I believe, and I taught my children this, that how important it is that we're able to say exactly whatever we're feeling. There isn't any right or wrong feeling. And we can say anything that needs to be said if we say it with love.
Right.
If we express it with love, and if we own our feelings, and, you know, that's where the IFS work, I think, has been helpful, too, to be able to see that just whatever I'm feeling is a part of me and probably is happening because of something that happened way back when I may not even know, you know. But if we state it as though it's fact and you did and this, then the other person is drawn back and just, whoa, and thrown off. But I feel it's extremely important not to hide your feelings from each other. Total transparency is one of my beliefs about a healthy relationship. But there are ways to do that that bring about openness and love. I brought to this relationship something I established in the decade when we were apart, when I was in a relationship, and it was called the check-in. And that is when we have a date, we check in. First of all, we share, when we do this, something that feels really good about the relationship that we're really enjoying and we want more of. And then if there's something that could make it better, then we can share that too and how we're feeling about it. And it, you know, especially when you do that, when you're not in the middle of whatever intense feeling it might be, there's a really good chance of having it enrich the relationship that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And as a subtlety on what I said, you know, I do now choose not to vocalize most of my wounded parts, little triggers here and there. They're just not important enough. But I do, I mean, yesterday, I'll make it a point, if something does feel important to bring out, I will definitely bring it out and we'll discuss it. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I've gone from is just knee-jerk verbalizing any little issue I'm having and doing that all the time and clattering, muddying the air with that, as opposed to now being very, it's kind of like with my puns, you know, I, for every pun I say, I've got 10 or 15 that roll through my brain. And I said, let's not realize that one. In the same way, every little wounded part that has an issue with something, I'm not going to verbalize every single one of those either. I'm just going to say, okay, the ones that are really important enough to verbalize, I will. The rest, I'll just deal with that internally. So puns and traumas, I work with them the same way.
Oh, my goodness.
Any other questions or anything from anyone? We got time for, you know, one more juicy round of topic if someone wants to bring something up.
Spirit Song was saying about how you interact with people, because sometimes it can be just that you're going around happy. You don't, just being where you are and enjoying being there can be definitely, I think about the grocery store a lot too. And sometimes just having a good time in the grocery store makes all the people around you happy. Makes the produce guy happy to see you getting a good pear, makes the other shoppers happy. I mean, it's just, you can share happiness just by having a good time yourself without looking for anything you have to do, just by being there.
Yeah.
And of course, if you see something, you know, that you want to say, that you're called to say, that is going to uplift, of course do it, but it's not even necessary sometimes, most of the time. And I'm an introvert, so I don't always want people. I mean, I like when people come and say nice things to me, but I'm not necessarily calling for it or needing it most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Great insight.
That's sweet, yeah. Good insight.
One of the things I always do when I'm in the supermarket, or any store for that matter, is that I always call people by their name. Everybody's wearing a name tag, and I always address them by their name. And sometimes I'll be looking, and they'll say, "What are you?" And I said, "I can't read your name tag. Your hair is in the way, or something's covering it, or they had somebody else's name tag on that day, so they turned it around." But I think it's really important to recognize people, because so often I think people go through the checkout and they don't even make eye contact with anybody, and you know, they're doing the payment, et cetera, et cetera. So I think eye contact and recognizing people by name is really important. So I do that all the time when I'm in the store.
Like it from some people, I wear a name tag, and I've been a cashier, and I wear a name tag at work now. And sometimes when people look at you and they call you by name, it's sort of like a little power play. And it's not really welcome in that situation. It's kind of like, oh, well, I see who you are. And other times it's a friendly way, or, you know, they say, oh, my aunt has, you know, the same name or whatever. That's always interesting when there's kind of a reason for it, a connecting reason for it. But other times it comes across as like kind of haughty and like, why are you doing this? Like, okay. 'Cause they don't have a name tag on. I can't say either. They don't say, hi, Risa. And I say, hi, Joe. You know, it's very unequal. And it's not always welcome. I just, in my situation, I've had it both ways for sure. But also, as that service person, you get to also spread, you know, there, you can treat the person who's there with that attention. And I mean, that's one of the things I love about it. You never know who's coming in, what they're going through, and what you're going to have to deal with them. And so it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you, I mean, I love it, actually. Doesn't pay, but it's really fun. I mean, I've always loved retail for that reason. And when I was in a big box store, I did a thing where, and I've heard now from people that not everyone likes it, but I would give them their change. I would just like barely brush their hand, because I was like, here I am, I'm sharing a human connection. Just this teensy bit, it's gonna, you know, give them something. I'm giving them something with their change. But anyway, there's I could just feel it. I needed to say that. So
thank you for sharing.
Yeah, one time that reminded me of I watched at a grocery store. I was right behind a lady, an old curmudgeonly woman, and the cashier handed her change, and she was taking her time counting out every single coin, you know, really slow and deliberate, looking at it kind of squinty-eyed, and finally the cashier said, "Well, did I give you the right change?" He said, "Yeah, but just barely." That person needed your touch.
I'll share the other side. I was in the bagel place, and there was, because they're always the, you know, I don't want to be the old lady like counting out my change on my change purse. I'm always like, there's no one behind me, right? So I can make sure I have 3 cents, because, you know, there's always that person. And I don't know. But I was in the bagel shop, and this woman was there, and she was there to pay. And she had an assistant with her, and the assistant was just standing back. And the woman was opening the purse, and I wish I had something to demonstrate, but she was opening it. She was open here. She was just so confused. She was trying to find her money, and she was checking in one pocket after another, after another. And finally, the fellow said, he said, "You just need to get a pocketbook without so many compartments." And it's just so lovely with her. I mean, everyone was just really lovely with her. And she didn't have to pay for it because her aide was paying. And she had her bag, but her bag just barely had anything in it. And it was, I don't know, it was just a very, very sweet scene. Of course, I was waiting. No, I don't think so. I think actually I had my food. It didn't matter. It was just, she was treated so well in that bagel shop. It just made me a big fan of the place, even though I barely eat bagels.
Thanks for sharing that beautiful story, Risa.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone have a last topic they want to put on the table before we wrap up for today? Last call. All right. Does anyone want to just check out real briefly on the way out? I know we don't usually do this on an Ask Me Anything, but I just want to check out by saying I've really enjoyed our connection. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying all the wisdom we've all shared and the sense of community I feel with what we've done here today. Anyone mm-hmm. else want to just say a word or two on the way out?
This has been awesome. You guys are so beautiful. I love you all so much. You're just awesome. Love you.
Thank you.
I really thank and value everybody's input in every single one of your souls. It's mm-hmm. great to commune like this, that's for sure. So thank you for your time and being here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brian.
So I really enjoyed being here. This is also wonderful. And Benjamin, I'm really glad you're going to add something of astrology because I think that's really exciting. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the things I enjoy so much about this group is the interactive flow back and forth. And the gems of wisdom that I get from each person, everyone bringing something to the table, it just seems so perfect and enlightening, and that we can share with each other in this way. You're all beautiful lights, and I love you, and I'm happy to be here. Grateful for your presence, for everyone. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any other last thoughts before we sign out? All righty. Well, it's been wonderful, y'all. Thanks very much for showing up. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have done it without you. Mm-hmm. And I know this is our last announced event for the month, but around the beginning of the month I will, as usual, put out the next month's schedule with that new astrology event on it, and we'll have some fun next month too. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Many blessings.
Bye.